the book of Philippians in chapter 3. The book of Philippians in chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through verse 14. Again, I pray the message might be an encouragement to you today, that you will too seek higher ground. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through verse 14. The Apostle Paul writes to the Philippian people. He says, "Finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord." You know, Apostle Paul was all about being happy in the Lord. Not be happy because you hear funny stories or jokes or things of that nature. He wanted our happiness to be derived from the Lord Jesus Christ. And true happiness will be derived from the Lord Jesus Christ. "Finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, for few it is saved. Beware of those, beware of the evil workers, beware of the decision. We are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might have also confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he hath worth, he might trust the flesh, I more." And the Apostle Paul there in verses 5 and verses 6, he said in the midst of those things that used to be his life, what his life consisted of, and he said, "You know, I was a religious man, I was a religious zealot. But," he said, "what I did was not in the right way, it was not the right proper thing what the Lord would have me to do." He said, "Those things that I did them in ignorance." He said, I wasn't a saved man. He said, "I wasn't saved." He said, "What things pertain to me, those things I count lost for Christ." And he said, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things lost, excellence of the knowledge of Christ." He said, "All those things I had in life, all those attainments I had in life, all those high places of prestige and honor and education and my standing," he said, "all those things didn't amount to nothing." And he said, "Nothing makes any difference to me anymore." He said, but all that I want is Christ. He said, "Whom I suffer the loss of all things, to count them but none of them, I may win Christ." He said, "Not only do I look at those things as nothing that I had before, the attainments I made in life, the things that the world looked down upon, and you know that since you're a great man, Paul, you've got it all. You've got the world by the tail, and you're headed downhill. It's all your way, Paul." The Apostle Paul said, "All those things that I thought was great, the world thought was great," he said, "they don't mean nothing to me." He said, "Actually, that I suffered all of them. I suffered the loss, and those things are all, I've given all those things up." He said, "All that I want to do is be close to Christ. I want to win Christ. I want to grow in the knowledge of Christ. I want to draw closer to Christ." He said, "I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is the law." Lord, Paul said, "I don't want to live a life that I stand before God and I go to God and I say, 'Hey, look how good I am. Look what a good man I am. And my righteousness, I want you to look at me, God, and know that I'm a good man in your sight because of the good deeds of my flesh.'" He said, "That's not why I want my righteousness to be." He said, "I want my righteousness to be what? Through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." He wanted the imputed righteousness. He wanted Christ's righteousness to be put to his account. How's that done? It's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And Apostle Paul said in verse 10, "And that I may know him in the power of his resurrection." Apostle Paul said, "I want to get to know him. I want to know him more and more and more. I want to learn more about him. I want to be able to tap into, and I want to be able to enjoy the power, that resurrection power in my life. And the fellowship of his suffering to be made conformable to his death. If by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead." Not as though I had already attained. Apostle Paul said, "I'm on my way to heaven." He said, "I know I'm on my way to heaven." He said, "I'm not in my journey to heaven." He said, "I'm not arrived to a place of sinless perfection. Even we're already perfect." He said, "I'm not sinless." He said, "I do have sin." He said, "I'm a striving. I want to be perfect." He said, "I follow after that, that if I may apprehend that which also apprehendeth Christ Jesus. Brother, I count not myself apprehended." He said, "I'm not arrived at no certain place on a spiritual level or a spiritual plane. I've not got to a place in my spirituality that I no longer need the Lord. I've not got a place in my life that I don't no longer need prayer and the fellowship and the communion with the saints coming out of the house of God. I no longer have got a place in my life that I don't need other people with me to pray with me and encourage me. I've not got a place in my life that I no longer have to read the Bible or study the Bible. I've not got a place in my life I don't have to subject myself to the preaching and the teaching of God's Word." I'm talking to Christians that say that. And they don't say that with their lips. They'll say that with their actions. That they no longer need certain things in the church. Well, if the pastor needs it, and other pastors and preachers and other Christians need that, we think we're idols ourselves, but we've reached or we're some kind of a special spiritual being that we don't need? That you don't need what pastors and preachers and other Christians say that they need? And what makes us think we've got to some place? The Apostle Paul said, I'm not apprehended. Paul said, I've not got some place in my life that I don't need these things. I don't need these spiritual things in my life. Paul said, I've not got to that place. He says, one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, I reach forth those things that are before. He said, I cannot rest upon the meetings of last week. As sweet as the fellowship and the companionship and love expressed and the stirring of the heart and the listening to God's Word and the singing and just the joy that a pastor has of seeing his people serving the Lord and seeing happiness in their heart and in their life. I cannot rest on that which was done yesterday. I've got to have that new for today. And the Apostle Paul said, I forget. And also we forget the past sins and the past failures. And we keep on going forward and looking forward. And I reach forth to those things from before. I press with the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Lord, ask for just to bless and look at verse 14. Take it as our text verse today. Lord, may the message be simple, Lord. The Lord is not simplistic, Lord. Let it not be just something we look at as a trivial. Lord, maybe something we've heard before that we really don't need or pay heed to, Lord. It's right the essence of our Christian life and our experience and the joy, Lord, that we can have in our life. That each day we're pressing toward, Lord, that we're looking and seeking to get up on higher ground. Lord, we can be drawn closer to you. Lord, we don't do that for salvation. Lord, we do it because we are saved. And Lord, we desire to have that good, sweet spirit of fellowship with you. Help us, Lord. Help me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We ought to strive. We love somebody. We want to make them happy. We want people to be pleased with us. We like to see people be pleased. Yesterday, I go out of my way to try to make Sandy laugh 3 or 4 times a day. Just make her bust out laughing. You sell anything you, that's okay, but I like to see her laugh. I want to make her laugh. I like to see her happy. I like to see her smile. If you like somebody, you like them to be happy. You like to see people smile.
Amen.
If you love the Lord, don't you want the Lord to be pleased with you? Don't you want to know that the Lord is happy and is pleased with you? I think the more you care about anybody, the more you really want that person to be pleased with you. And ultimately, we need to please the Lord above all else. And we ought to want the Lord to be pleased. We ought to want to be able to put a smile, so to speak, if you allow me to say that, on the Lord. And I think the Lord does smile upon us. He has put His favor upon us. The Lord, the Bible thinks the Lord is pleased when we do what is right and proper in His eyes. The Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize and I call Him of God in Christ. That word press, it has the meaning of to pursue. To chase after, literally or figuratively. The Apostle Paul said, I'm pursuing, I'm pressing toward the mark. He said, I'm looking for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In our text verse, the Apostle Paul said, I press, I'm pursuing, I'm striving, I'm moving forward for the prize, the reward that awaits me. And what is the reward that awaits the Apostle Paul? What is the prize? It's heaven. Pure and simple, it's heaven. You know, heaven is a delightful word. It's a wonderful word. It does me good when I'm able to call upon and have the privilege, and also it's an honor to preach a funeral to somebody, and they call upon me. And when I know that person saved, and they got a testimony of being saved, it does me well to be able to get up and say, as I get ready to start this service today, I'll be able to tell you this person by their own admission, by their, not only by their profession, but what they have possessed within their heart, that they're a child of God. They're in heaven today. That does me well to be able to say that. It does me great good to say that. As a life toward heaven. No more trouble, no more tears, no more crying, no more sorrow. Eternal bliss, the place called heaven. Heaven's a delightful word. The Apostle Paul said, I'm striving, I'm looking forward to it, I'm going toward that, I'm pressing toward that place called heaven. We're heaven bound. It's not because we're not working our way to heaven, but we're going to heaven, and we want to have joy in the journey of going to heaven. Our salvation is purchased in the person of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His shed blood. I'm not working to go to heaven. I'm working because I am as a child of God. And heaven is my home. we're heaven bound. A person ought to be happy and joyful on the journey. We ought to be excited about the journey. I was reading a Facebook snooping the other day, and one of the personal Sandy's friends just happened to be there, and I was reading it, and it said it was a mother in a conversation with her children. And she started off, she said, "Here's a conversation with the children." So we're on our way vacation, we're on our way to the beach. And the conversation starts out, the mother asked one son, said, "I think maybe it's my shoes. Did you bring your sandals?" And the one son said, "Oh no, so I forgot to bring my sandals." And then the mother said, "Oh my," something like that. Then the other son had his name and said, the other son said, "Oh my goodness. He said, I forgot mine." And then he said, "Plus, he said, I forgot to bring any shoes. I even forgot to put shoes on this morning." And the next thought the mother said was, she said, "Oh my," turn it around, went back home, delayed on her trip. Those two boys have got so excited, baby, about going on a trip. They're so excited about going on vacation. The one forgot an extra pair of shoes. The other boy knows that and forgot his shoes altogether. You know, as we think about it, we look forward to going to a place called heaven. There ought to be some joy in our heart. There ought to be some things that we have some excitement about. Anytime that you're looking forward to, the anticipation of, and the last several weeks, even leading up to the last several weeks, there's some things that I was looking forward to, going on a trip, to being Brother Johnson, looking forward to our friends coming from Perrysburg, looking forward to Brother Brent coming, and Brother Reddy coming. And I probably, no doubt, I've slept less and got up earlier. It's not been that anything bothered me. I wasn't hurt or nothing of that nature. But it's just the excitement of looking forward to the next day and the excitement of what's going to happen that day. And you wake up, and when you have something to look forward to, when you wake up, you're energized. By the time you get up out of the bed, you're energized. You want to go and do and accomplish, and you've got something to look forward to. How are we going to feel about heaven every day of our life? We get up, and we're looking forward to that heaven is our home. I'm on my way to heaven. As you think about these words of the Apostle Paul here, think about this pressing on for the prize, the high mark, this place called heaven, striving, going on, working, going to a place called heaven. The thoughts of these words in our text here today are captured in a very familiar song. Maybe some of y'all can remember us preaching along these lines before. But again, I pray it'll be a blessing to you today, as it is to me, just be able to overlook these thoughts and study these thoughts here this morning, this very beautiful song that I love. If you got your hymn book, you can turn to page 262. And I think the songwriter captured the essence of this passage of Scripture when they wrote this song, Higher Ground. I'm going to read the first verse, stanza, and then we're going to have look at these verses, comparing to the Scriptures and the thoughts we're looking at today. The first verse, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I'm pressing on the upward way. Isn't that what Apostle Paul said? I press toward the mark of the prize, high call of God in Christ Jesus. As a Christian, it's within us to press onward and upward. Water seeks its own level. Ducks take the water. Birds take the air. You ever see a nursing calf, a nursing colt, a nursing puppy, a nursing kitten? There is a natural inclination within them that God has put within them that they try and strive to do what? To nurse. That a colt one time, the colt was having trouble nursing its mother. Sandy got the tape on her finger, trying to put milk on her finger, let it suck her finger. And the little thing got mixed up. He thought her finger was where all the source of milk was at. And she had a hard time getting that colt convinced that its mommy was the ones producing the milk. They let no milk come out of Sandy's finger. But it had that desire to suck and get that milk. There's that which within the child of God. It is not natural. We're talking about natural things, the natural. In the natural sciences, in the way things God has made animals and made humans. Some things that God's given us, those desires. But also, if you think about in the science, you talk about water, it seeks its level. There's that in a child of God that is supernatural. It is a spiritual desire within a child of God that we have a desire to be closer and press onward and upward.
Amen.
To be closer to the Lord. That's a natural inclination within our heart. That is a supernatural inclination in our heart. That we want to be closer to the Lord. We want to draw close to the Lord. You think about the devil and all his hellish hatred will try to hold you back. The world will throw its weight around. Our flesh nature will fight against us. All designed to stop the forward inclination of the new man within. That new man, that new creature within is bursting and striving and wanting to have the things of the Lord. The Holy Spirit within us, obviously we grieve the Holy Spirit sometimes. The Holy Spirit wants us not to grieve Him, but to be able to fellowship and do those things that gives the Holy Spirit within joy, God joy in our heart. We need to praise God, as we see the psalmist said. He said, new height I'm gaining every day. Listen, your joy is going to be when you look at your life. You're not satisfied with the things of the life. You're not satisfied with the way your life is. As a child of God, I'm not saying doom and gloom. I'm simply saying, Lord, I know you got the better things for me. And Lord, as great as yesterday was in the spiritual sense, I know it can be even greater today. It's greater because I can learn more about you, Lord. I can learn how to be more like you. I can learn how, Lord, to be more used of you. And how I can show forth your glory and your might and your mercy and your love in a greater way. The psalmist says, I'm praising on the upward way and new heights I'm gaining every day. You need to always be gaining ground for the Lord. You always need to be gaining ground. You need to be going forward in the cause of Christ. No matter what weighs you down. And you say, well, the problems of life, I just get weighed it down. But listen, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says to lay aside that weight. Sin is a weight. Worldliness. Sin is a weight. Worry. Sin is a weight. Lack of faith. Sin is a weight. Fear. Sin is a weight. We need to understand what that is, what was in us. What is it? It's Christ. The Holy Spirit. Then as Jesus said, I leave, I send you the Holy Spirit to comfort you, to lead you, and to guide you. Listen, no matter what weighs me down, I should be able to gain a higher plane every day. It empowers us to gain new heights. Each and every day. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, we use that as a quip all the time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, that's a fact. That's just not a pleasant thing. That's not just a little thing we just use off the cuff. But that is a fact of the Word of God. That I can. You cannot say there's nothing in the vocabulary, there's nothing about the Christian life that says can't when it comes to serving God and being drawn closer to the Lord. Those things that will prevent you is your own sinfulness and your own slothfulness, your own ways as it comes to not obeying the Word of God. There's no excuse. Sometimes I tell Mason, he's going to come down today. He says, what do you need, Papa? I said, well, he's waiting. I said, I need your help. He said, what are you going to do? I said, really, I don't need your help to do anything. I just need somebody to holler at and things don't go well, Mason. And he laughs about that. You know, we like to always blame somebody. If something happens, we like to be able to blame somebody else sometimes. Listen, when it comes to your service to the Lord, you can blame everything you want. You can try to blame other people all around you because you're not happy, you're not serving God, you're not able to do for the Lord like you'd like to do. I tell you what, if it comes right down to it, you have only one person to blame. That's yourself. There's nobody, there's nothing to stop you from serving the Lord. There's nothing to stop you from being drawn closer to the Lord each and every day. We want to blame others. That's just a cop-out. There is no cop-out. There's no excuse for the Lord. I can do all things through Christ to strengthen me. I can live a better life. I can live a purer life. I can draw closer to the Lord today than I was yesterday. And there's nothing on the face of this earth, neither powers above or powers below, that can take away and stop me from being closer to my Lord today than I was yesterday. Now, I like to sound able to blame it on somebody else. I like to be able to say somebody else is at fault or be able to trash talk somebody else, but when it comes right down to it, there's nothing. I'm excuseless. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Holy Spirit in me empowers me to gain new heights every day. I don't care if it makes no difference. Sometimes I don't care because I do care when you're dealing with problems. When you're dealing with problems, it affects me. When my family deals with problems, it affects me. It affects all of us. matter what you're dealing with today. Let's talk to the person today. I don't know 100%, but I just think the way the conversation is going this morning, that there's no doubt there's maybe problems. There's a problem this person's having. And it's sad that people have problems. But at the same time, it makes a difference what problem you may have. And I'm not minimizing your problems. But no matter what you're dealing with today or what you have dealt with the past week, you've got to know this. World of discouragement, sometimes delays that happen in your life are often God's providence for some better things to happen to you. Now you think sometimes I can't go on. It's too hard. Today's not going to be a good day because of what happened yesterday. What if you looked at the flip side of that and said, well, all things work together for good and love the Lord, as we studied this morning. And Lord, I know that it's discouragement yesterday. It's something that I got stopped, or I felt like I was hindered from, or something I didn't get that I wanted, something I prayed for, something I thought would work out. It just didn't happen that way, Lord. And we think, you know, the Lord don't care. We start saying a whole host of things. But how many times can you look back and say, Lord, I see why you didn't give me that. Because you give me something better. Lord, I see why I wasn't allowed to go that path or that route, or that didn't materialize, or this happened to me. And Lord, I fretted, I worried, but now I see, Lord, why it happened just like it happened. Understand in the Word of God, each day is a better day. Each day is a new day. And then to look for better things each day. What carries from day to day? We think it's because yesterday was a rough day, certainly today. We get in a mode of thinking a defeatist attitude. We get to thinking that things just not going to get any better. And we lose hope. We should not ever lose hope. Why? Because we have got the great God of heaven. He's the great God of heaven. And you ought to look for better things. Why? Because you've got a great God and a capable God. There's nothing He can't do. And each day, we ought to prepare to move onward and upward to the greater knowledge of the Savior. We're to strive to grow in grace and love and other attributes of the Lord. We're to strive to be more loving. Have you ever just determined in your heart, I'm going to be more loving today than I was yesterday? I'm going to be more kind to people. I'm going to strive to be more affectionate to people. I'm going to strive to be more patient. I'm going to strive to be more forgiving. I'm going to strive to show more compassion to people today. I went out of my way in the morning sometimes and promised myself, said, Lord, if you'll help me, the Lord will. Lord, I'm going to be more patient with people today. Lord, I'm going to be more compassionate. I'm going to be more concerned when I talk to people. Lord, I'm going to try to be more kind to people today. When you make a mental note in your mind, write it down. Lord, I want to grow in these graces. The Bible's going to grow in those graces. Who of us is so loving and kind and compassionate, forgiving and patient? And we don't need to stop from time to time and check ourselves. And say, Lord, here's what I want to be. Here's what I want to do. And know that it can be possible. No matter what, the Lord will help you to be able to be that person. The song goes ahead and says, still praying as an onward bound. That's where the key is. You live from power on high on your journey day by day. You can't do it. Am I loving? No. Am I patient? No. Am I kind? No. Am I compassionate? No. Some people's personalities tend more to be certain ways. No matter how your personality is or what you've experienced in life, you can see reverses in that. You can be that person that the Lord had. You can be just exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, what do you do? Take a power of positive thinking. You know, you get a hold of these promotionals, these books, and these, you know, just go ahead and do it and be it. Listen, what we have is the greatest power on the face of this earth and beyond. It's the Holy Spirit that's within us. I can't do, I can't be. But with the awesome God of the universe and beyond, I can do. And I can enlist His power to help me to be what He wants me to be. Pray without cease, the Bible tells in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. oftentimes we use prayer as a last resort. When everything else has failed, we stop and pray. But listen, the Bible says the Lord will be our first resource. Go on to the Lord and pray and ask Him to help you be that person that you desire to be, that you want to be, that God wants you to be. The psalm goes ahead and says, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Pray every day, Lord, give you that satisfaction each and every day to reach a higher spiritual level than the day before. Lord, I want to be drawn a little closer to you. Lord, I want to get a little higher spiritual level tomorrow than I was today. That's a realistic prayer. Forgetting those things that's behind you, actually reach forth to the things today. Second verse that stands, in the heart is no desire to stay, for doubt arrives and fear and dismay. You know, it very well may be some of the trials in your life that you have, the problems you have in life. May be simply the Lord is trying to get you weaned off of this world. To get your mind off of this world and realize eternity is out there before you. Sometimes we get so caught up in the things of the world. Not just things of the world, I'm talking about worldly things, those things that oppose God. We get so caught up in them that we forget to think about God. We forget to pray, we forget to thank God for prayer. We forget the things the one that's given us, the things that we have that we enjoy. We get caught up in that. And it may be sometimes that things happen in our life and trials come our way that the Lord's getting our eyes back upon Him. Troubles, trials, tribulation, turmoil in this life, it'll cause us to do what? It causes us to long for a place where there's no more tears, death, sorrow, crying, or pain. It gets us to the place that we start longing and looking forward to a place called heaven. Those who may dwell where these abound, my prayer remains as higher ground. I know people, you know people, that lie in trouble. The greatest joy they have in life is simply to cause a mess. And it's always about a mess. Their entire life is a mess. They're miserable. And they want everybody else around them to know they're miserable. And they want everybody else around them basically to become miserable with them. And it seems like they're at their very peak. They're at their most excitement. They're at their most energetic. They're at their peak performance when they're right in the midst of a mess. And discussing and talking about it. And gathering sides and being in a mess. Miserable of the people when they're happiest. When they're causing misery, sharing misery. Controversy, when there's pain involved, emotional, physical pain that's been brought upon other people, that's when they're at their best. I don't like that. I want to be above that. I don't want to take my joy in my life is not going to be revolved around the misery of other people. Don't let that become your life. Don't let your life get all wrapped up in the misery and the trouble of the world, the people of the world. And even sometimes, maybe even a Christian that gets in that kind of a vicious cycle. Listen, your goal, your aim should be higher ground. To talk about some good things and wonderful things and realize the blessings of God that can come in your life. You need to come to God's house. You need to fellowship in God's house. And I've always said that God's house of all places should be a place of peace and tranquility. And we shouldn't leave our problems. Those serious problems, those things that affect us, leave them outside those doors and don't come in the house of God and let them all get it within the congregation of God's people. I'm not talking about not sharing your burdens and your trials and tribulations, but don't let them just overwhelm everything. And focus on what you can draw from and what a blessing to be to other people. And draw from the good things of the Lord. Stop once in a while in your life and think about the good things that God's given you. If you can say, I don't have any good things, my goodness, there's something wrong with your life spiritually. I need to start to check my salvation. My salvation in itself is a good thing. My health and whatever force of health that I have, it's still good compared to what others may be experiencing in life. Focus on some good things and joyful things. Some people may be happy in this world and the turmoil and the trouble in this world. But listen, the songwriter said, and my heart is, and what Apostle Paul said, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to get up above that. I want to try to help people to get up above that. As God some child of your age should be higher ground. What do you thrive on? I thrive on peace and purity and purpose of life that builds up and not destroys the individual. We need to try to help the people we can help. Some people you cannot help. How many parents have spent so much time with one child that refuses to be helped to neglect of other children that need help and want help? How many pastors spend time praying over special attention, special affection on this wayward child in the flock, and he forgets to be positive, encourage the ones that are doing a good thing? Listen, you've got to spend some time and try to encourage them to be a blessing to those ones that want to be a blessing. There is contentment in your life to help people and build people, help see people build up and thank the Lord. Where you and I go wrong, if you go out of your way and start trying to fix people, we can't fix nobody.
Amen.
Leave it in the hands of the Lord, and don't get so wrapped up in their problems and their dilemmas, and don't let them get you so engulfed in all that mess that it brings you down. I'm not saying don't care. I'm not saying not love them. I'm not saying not giving guidance. But you can't just focus on that all the time. You need to try to reach over to these ones that you know you can help. These ones that you can help build up. This over here, all they want is a handout. This over here is wanting a hand up. Well, focus on the ones you give a hand up to. And be a part of their life. And invest in their life. Be encouragement to them. I think you know what I'm saying. Listen, our aim is higher ground. I thrive on peace and purity and purpose of life that builds up, not destroys an individual. I don't want to be the hurt of the people. I want to be the help of the people. Like the songwriter said in the third stanza, I want to live above the world and set those Satan darts in me a hurl. Listen, we are of this world. We're not of this. We are in this world. We're not of this world. Our citizenship, the Bible says, is in heaven. World, we speak about all that opposed to God and His Word. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We are a child of God. I want to live above the ways of the world. Though Satan has thrown his darts at me, come out from among them to be separate, saith the Lord, 2 Corinthians 6:17. As you strive to live above the world, and the battle rages on, bad battle, terrible battle, fierce battle, the inward struggle, the world, wild with it, his darts you are throwing, darts of pride, envy, jealousy, self-sufficiency, laziness, slothfulness, lack of faith. These darts are you are hurled. It's about greater Jesus in you than in the world. We will go ahead and read in that song, for faith has caused the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. That reminds me of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Looking unto those that went on before it. All the heroes in Hebrews chapter 11. Seeing those that are, where it comes about so great a cloud of witness, let us run the race. Let us continue on. Let us persevere. Let us look for higher ground. For faith is called the joyful sound, the song of the saints on higher ground. They done it. They made it. They succeeded. They had joy. They had happiness. They had trouble, trial, tribulation, turmoil. But they persevered. And so can you.
Amen.
For faith is called the joyful sound, the song of the saints on higher ground. We that have tasted heavenly things, you that have been saved and tasted the good things of the Lord, you've heard the things on high, we have the song of victory. We're the winners. We're the winners. We're the victors. And Lord, be happy about that. Psalms chapter 23, verse 1 through 6. The Lord's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. And all things, no matter what goes on, from the time that I'm saved, and the thing about going all through life, very last verse there says what? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You're a winner. Stand to verse 4. I want to scale up most high and catch a gleam of glory bright. Back to our text chapter, what is it? It says Philippians chapter 3, what we read in verse 10, that I may know him. The songwriter says, I want to catch a gleam of glory bright. I want to get close to the Lord. I want to stay close to the Lord. The true desire of our love for another is to get to know him. Everything we can about it. So it is as a child of God concerning our salvation. We spend all effort to climb a little higher every day. A little higher gets a little better glimpse of Jesus. People go with great glances to see movie stars, dignitaries, people of importance. I want to catch just a little bit of a glimpse of this famous personality. Listen, how we ought to every day strive to get a little bit of a glimpse of Jesus. And we'll strive. You try to climb up a little higher on the spiritual ladder to be a little more loving and caring and compassionate and have a less sin, fight against sin in our life, fight against those besetting sins, fight against those things that try to hold us back or drag us down, and get rid of that weight that keeps us from scaling up and looking above and looking up. A little higher gets a little better glimpse of Jesus. Draw a little closer, walk a little closer, fellowship a little closer. What we might draw from Him, that which we need, continue on this slide below. Seek a little heaven on this earth. Continue on. Till when? The psalmist said, "But still I'll praise of heaven I found, but it'll be on the higher ground." It'll only be completely realized that that place of perfectness that we strive for will only be realized until ultimately that we're in heaven. But we can pray, we can look forward to every day, knowing that there is that home, a place in heaven, where all will go be rest. And strive, that fight, that battle will be over. But listen, that destination is wonderful, it's the prize. It's the greatest thing. But I think sometimes we get the mistake as a child of God that we can't have no fun on the journey. We can have fun on our journey. Our Christian life ought to be joyful for us. How many times you went to some place and you look forward to going to a place, did you not also most of the time enjoy the trip while you was going? The anticipation, the desire, and the things you experienced along the way, did you not enjoy that? Most people do. I always have. I was always glad to get to a place. Most of the time I was always glad to get back home. Unless this trip that I'm on, it's not a whole local comparison. This world or anything of it, I'm going to be in a place called heaven. But I am going to enjoy the trip. There's nothing to keep me from enjoying the trip. The Holy Spirit's in me, the joy I've got in my heart, what God's given me, there's nothing that can stop me from enjoying the trip along the way. So I'm going to search, I'm going to look, and I'm going to seek to get on a higher plane of living every day. It's not going to be satisfied with what was yesterday. I want to draw a little closer, be a little more. Do a little more for my Lord. Each and every day. Not that I can get to heaven, but because I know I'm going to go to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. I want to have a good trip along the way. A good journey for me. Pray you say the same for yourself. How many of us are blessed here today? Blessed here is the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.